The word of the Lord from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first of importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was in with me. Whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from the epistle to the church in Corinth that I just finished reading for you and serves as the basis of our theme for Easter Day. Risen indeed. Alleluia. Why are you here? I mean, honestly. There are so many things you could have been doing with this 3, 4, or 5 day weekend, depending on how much time work lets you have off. Many of us know you could have been golfing. I knew as early as last Thursday it was going to be a low of 55 and a high of 82 with nary a cloud in the sky. What better day could there possibly be for golfing? You could have taken the kids on an early morning hike in the Ocala Forest. Maybe you would see the ever elusive black bear or Florida panther or turkey with her adorable pellets dutifully following her across the hiking trail. Maybe you could be doing what the young hipsters are doing, hitting up the local high-end breakfast venues for brunch and mimosas. I know many of you, just like me, when I had little boys, came for the Easter egg hunt. I know many of you, just like me, can't wait to see the little boys and girls in their Easter Sunday outfits. And I know many of you, like many in my family, made it here because even though you can't be in church regularly, you know Christmas and Easter are the high holy days you just don't want to miss. The hymns are just too good. The festival, the event is just too impressive. And everyone is talking about it in the news. This is the place to be. And not one of those reasons are a bad reason for you being here today, because ultimately, you know you are celebrating something special. You are ultimately celebrating that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. But in our epistle today, Paul is making a whole nother point about why you're here today. And it goes back thousands of years before this resurrection that we celebrate happening over 2,000 years ago for us today. And specifically, speaks to the foreknowledge God's people had that Christ would die on behalf of our sins. Started with Psalm 22. 1,100 years before Christ was born, that told us concerning our Messiah, Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? The last words Jesus spoke in the Gospel of Mark as well. These very words showed us Jesus became sin on the cross and was left by his Father to die with every sin we ever committed and every sin we will ever commit, so that we would never suffer the punishment for our sins in eternity. But that's not all. Isaiah 53 and 61, over 700 years before Christ, show exactly how he would preach in Luke 4 for the first time, and how he would be crucified with undeniable detail for proclaiming himself to be one with the eternal Father, his Father. Oh, many have suggested God never had a son, and yet Proverbs 34, 1,000 years before Christ, tells us who has ascended to heaven and come down, who has gathered the wind in his fists, who has wrapped up the waters in a garment, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name? What is his son's name? Surely you know. Well, we do know. Jesus, you bet we know. He is the reason for every season. And if that were not enough, wait, there is more. We have Jonah the prophet over 700 years before Christ, swallowed by a great fish, as good as dead in his own words, and spit out to live and preach another day. After, ready for this? 3 days. A sign that Jesus said was a precursor to him in the grave for 3 days, in both Matthew 12 and Mark 8. Likewise, coming from the depths of Hades itself to preach another day. Hosea 6, 700 years before Christ, uses the same language, saying, after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Who lives? Job 19 concludes with that amazing hymn of Easter. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. At least 2,000 years before Christ, and possibly even 3,000 years before Christ, Job knew God would die and live. Job saw Jesus and knew that his Redeemer would live. You know, every Easter I pore over my suits, getting ready for the celebration of this day. I usually waffle between my linen suit or my seersucker suit. It's an important ritual for me because of my past. I so remember worshiping at Shepherd the Hills in Littleton as a teenager. That was the day we all made sure we wore our sport jackets and or suits. We were not too sophisticated in those days, so a blazer with khakis was the typical uniform each year. We did usually get a new tie and shirt to go with our outfit, so we looked a little shinier and newer than the year before. Fashion moved quickly in the 80s, and we had to keep up. But no matter the attention to detail, no matter the cologne or new hairstyle, we just couldn't compare to the glory of the girls in their Sunday dresses, white gloves, and broad flowing hats. No doubt that was what most of us boys looked forward to seeing on Easter Sunday, with the hopes that we would get a seat across from our favorite girl at the church breakfast. I know, pretty shallow, especially for Easter Sunday. But I also know that no matter what any of us were wearing, it compared little to the head covering neatly folded and linen wrappings that Peter and the boys would run to find in Jesus' tomb, laying where his body formerly lay dead. Despite the sharpness of our Sunday attire, it compared little to the shining robes the angel wore in the empty tomb, waiting for Mary to discover it empty today and explain to her what it meant. Despite all the hymnody, the breakfast fare, and the fun of the Easter eggs and beautiful lilies adorning our altar, it means nothing without the real reason we are here today. It may not be the first reason we came, but it is the only reason we need. Because more than 2,000 years before Christ, and for more than 2,000 years since his death and resurrection, we know deep down The only thing that needed to be done to forgive our sins was accomplished on that cross and redeemed us, no matter how unredeemable we may feel. Because he lives, we live. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.